Well, good afternoon. It's great to be with you. I bring you greetings from a sunny Melbourne. We can't always say that, but we're blessed with a lovely day here today. So it's great to be with you. And I do want to share with you, firstly, some verses from God's Word. And we're going to think about this subject of my way. And it's something that we all know about. At the end of the day, there are times in our life when we say it's all about us. And we want things to go our way. We're going to think a bit more about that today. So the verses that we'll consider together today, I've got them on the screen, but if you have your Bible, please always turn to the scripture and read it and see it there for yourself. But our first scripture is in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, and just one verse, and it speaks about a way. And it says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Our second scripture is in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Two verses from Matthew chapter 7. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in there. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. John chapter 14 and verse 6, and we've already thought of this a little bit in the hymn that we've had read to us. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And one final verse in Psalm chapter 86 and verse 11. It says, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. And we trust the Lord will bless these words that we have read from his scripture. Now, this song, this worldly song, I Did It My Way by Mr. Frank Sinatra, is one of, if not the most requested songs at funerals in Australia today. And when a person is having their funeral service in a hall or whatever venue is, and they are making their final preparations and their last choices in life, and one of the choices they are making is what is to be sung. As a coffin comes in or as a coffin is taken out, what is going to be sung? What music will be played that will reflect something of the person? And many people choose this. And it's a statement, it's a stamping of authority. We'll just read some of these words. And now the end is near. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way. Second little verse there says, for what is man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and I did it my way. I think it's a really sad state of affairs when the last thing that a person says to all those that are gathered to see them as their funeral takes place, they are rallying their fist in the air. And they're saying with a sense of pride and a sense of triumph, I did it my way. That's their last message. It's the thing that is the greatest burden of their heart to share with those that are there, that despite all the things that came my way and the challenges that I faced, despite all that was before me, I did it my way. I took the knocks. I had these difficult days. But you know, whatever happened to me, I chose my path and I did it my own way. You know, it really shouldn't surprise us that this is the attitude of many people. We see it in kids. And if you haven't experienced this as a parent yourself, you're doing an amazing job. But I'm sure parents have had days when the kids are stamping their feet, no. And you've seen it in shopping centers or supermarkets when mom or dad just says, no, you're not having that. And there is a tantrum. There is a stamping of a feet and a shaking and just this anger. You've seen a child that has brought a plate of vegetables or of some nutritious meal for dinner, and they're sitting at the high chair and they want nothing to do with it. And toddlers, just babies, are saying to their parents, they're saying, "My way, I don't want to eat that. I don't want to go where you're telling me to go. I don't want to stop doing what I want to do. I want my way." And the parents from the earliest days are seeking to raise the children and to say, it's not your way. But you see that is this nature, is that everything is to be my way. And we're living in a selfish world. You know, we're now upset if a McDonald's drive-through takes more than 2 minutes. We're upset if they haven't got ice cream machine working. And we want everything now. And everything has to be instantaneous. And we're so used to getting what we want. That's what society has become, a society of where everything is about me and about what I want. I just want to take you on a little journey through the first few chapters of the Bible and to show to you that this isn't anything new. In Genesis chapter 1, God makes the world. And God sums up his creation by speaking about each of those days when he makes things. And he says, and God saw it, and it was good. And he finishes that creation, and he declares that not only is it good, but it's very good when he has made man. And God makes man in his image, and he plants a garden. A garden doesn't just come into being. It tells us in those early chapters of Genesis that God planted a garden. And he took man that he had made, and he put him in the garden. And Adam and Eve together, they had everything that they needed. I want you to think about what they didn't have. They had no shame. They had no regret. There was no history. There was not a single thing between them. There was no past mistakes. There was no past errors. But there was nothing between them apart from this perfect, innocent union. And God gives them everything that they need in this garden. And God says there's just one thing that he asks of them. God doesn't say, you know, that whole half of the garden that's got all those lovely trees in it, don't go there. That's not for you. God doesn't say that. God doesn't say there's a whole species of trees and a whole range of animals and you have nothing to do with them. He doesn't say that. God says there's one tree. And he says, of that tree, you are not to eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And God gives just one instruction. That's it. One thing that God asked them to do. And you come to Genesis chapter 3, three chapters into the Bible. And the devil, the serpent, comes to Eve and just with these few little words says, hath God said? And calls into question the very word of God. Has God said? And Eve listens. And she looks at the tree and she sees that it looked good for food and she desires to be wise as she has been promised of the devil. And she takes and she eats and she gives to Adam and he takes and he eats. And in that moment, each of them deliberately and defiantly and individually have said to God, no, God. They've said, God, we won't do it your way, but my way. You've placed us in this garden that you planted and you've put us in it and you've given us just one thing that you've asked us to do, dominion over everything else. And you ask this one thing and they say, no, my way. It will be my way. What did they do? They realized they're naked and they were ashamed and they hid. And when God comes to speak with them, he doesn't find them. They're hiding from God. And God says, why are you hiding? I was afraid. You've never been afraid before. You've never known what fear is before. You've never known what shame and regret and guilt are before. But you know now because you've decided that you were going to do it my way. Well, there was consequences of that. The ground was cursed. There was a burden placed upon Eve and upon all women that would be having children from that point forward. The serpent was cursed, but there was also a promise on that day. And ever before there would be curse, there would be promise. And we'll come and think of that promise just a little later. But in this very, very first chapters of Genesis, God's made everything right. And he says, this is the way that you go. This is the place where you live. And Adam and Eve say, no, my way. You turn your page in your Bible, just one page, one chapter, the Genesis chapter 4, and you have those two sons of Adam and Eve. Sins come into the world, and fear and dread and separation from God and shame and anxiety and all those things have come in, and hatred and envy, and now in chapter 4, murder. And these two boys bring a sacrifice. And Cain, he brings a sacrifice of what his hands have made. He brings from what the cursed ground has offered, and he brings that to God as his offering, and God wants nothing to do with it. But Abel brings a sacrifice of the flock, and there is blood that is shed. See, there's already been bloodshed because God already had killed animals to make coats of coverings for Adam and Eve. Never had been death before. Never had been bloodshed before. But when Adam and Eve said to God, my way, then death comes in and bloodshed comes in. And Abel brings this sacrifice that would point to the need for there to be blood in a sacrifice. He would bring this sacrifice that would speak of the seriousness of sin and the need for sin to be paid for through death and through blood. But Cain, his sacrifice would come with his own works, the things that he had made. And he said to God, I'll bring you an offering, but I'm going to bring you an offering of what I choose to bring, my offering, my way. And God said, no, you won't. Just as he said to Adam and Eve when they said they would do it their way, God said, no, you won't. And he said the same to Cain, and his offering was not accepted, and he would rise up and he would kill his brother. In chapter 4 of the Bible, you come to chapter 6 of the Bible, and it speaks there about the wickedness of man being great upon the earth. You know what it says? It says that every imagination was always evil continually. Every, always, continually. That's what man was like. What did man do? Every man said, I'm going to do whatever I like. And whatever comes into my mind, if I want to do it, I'm going to do it. I don't care who else is affected by it. I don't care what God thinks of it. I don't care how different Noah's life looks to mine. There is one man who lives righteously before God, Noah, a righteous man who's perfect in his generations, and he and his family are spared by the grace of God through the building of the ark. And all those around that would mock and that would laugh and that would jeer, they would be saying, you know, Noah, you do it your way, but we're doing it our way. We are living for today and we're doing whatever we please. And God said to them, no, you're not. And the whole world was destroyed by flood and judgment of God. And we're in Genesis chapter 6. Come to chapter 11 of Genesis. And you've got a whole world together of one language in one place. And they're saying to one another, let us make bricks and let us build a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us be able to come and go as we please. And if we want to reach to God, then we'll reach to God by building it ourselves. And we'll make our own way to God, and we'll come and go whenever we like, with whatever circumstances we please. And we'll establish a name for ourselves. We'll make ourselves famous and give ourselves a reputation. And God said, no, you won't. And he would come down and he would survey that scene again, and he would confound their language and he would spread them out. Genesis chapter 11. And we have seen again and again and again that man says to God, my way. And God says, no. No, it's not like that. In the very next chapter, Genesis 12, God makes a promise to a man, Abram, and he promises to give him many, many children and to give him a land they will possess and it will be theirs forever, and they will be God's people. Now, you read the next few books, and you'll see repeatedly those people that God chose, those special people. You will see them repeatedly saying to God and often to God through Moses, no, no, don't care about the fact that you have brought us out of slavery. Don't care about the way that you have redeemed us and the way that you have saved us and brought us through the Red Sea. We're going to do it our way. We want a God that we can see. We want to make a calf of gold that we can fall down and worship, and we will do it my way. And time again, God says to them in judgment, he says, no, you won't. In Judges, by the time we get to Judges, the very last verse in that book, it's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. It says there was no king. And it says this, it says that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Does that sound familiar to you at all? Does it remind you of a time that we're living in today where every man does what is right in his own eyes? You watch the news, you listen to the news on the radio, you read it in a newspaper. Does that not sum up the situation that we're living in when everybody does whatever they feel like? And that was the case in Judges. You know, by the time we get to Judges, we've covered roughly 2,500 years, roughly. And in that 2,500 years, what has happened is repeatedly man has said to God, stamping their feet like a little child, no, no, no. And they're saying to God, if we're having a relationship with you, if we've got a problem of this division between us, we'll bridge it my way. God says to them, no, you won't. What about this man that wrote this song, My Way? This one that is sung at funerals, this one that is held up as being the great anthem that sums up a person's life. What a success you are in this world's terms. If you can sum up your life and say, you know, I did what I wanted. Nobody told me what to do. Nobody put me down. And despite the knocks, I got up again. And I did it on my own terms. And no one gave me anything. And you can hear it. The pride that a person has as they want to say to all those that are there on that last day, a time when their ability to make any decision and impact in this life is forever gone. That their ability to choose Christ is forever finished. And they are saying, declaring to all those that are there, the sum of my life is I did it my way. Let's see if we can see in his life some of the things that people rely on today. People that we see and people that are listening perhaps today. He was famous. He was at once regarded as the premier singer in the whole world. And there wasn't a corner of the globe where his name wasn't known. Even years after he has died, he is remembered and revered as a great singer. He has a star on the Walk of Fame in Hollywood. And in the world sense, he's made it. My Way, he was famous. He had a name. He had a reputation. And you know, that's what some people want to bring to God. Just as Cain would bring his work to God, some people would say to God, you know who I am. Look at my reputation, my fame. Look at this. And God says, no, that's not the way. He wasn't just famous, he was also powerful. He had the ear of presidents, friends of the Kennedy brothers, presidents. And he had the ability to influence people. And today, a lot of people are bringing that to God. My power, my position, not just my reputation, but also my power. Fortune. It's estimated he left a fortune of $500 million. Did you notice what I said? He left a fortune of $500 million. He didn't take even a single dime with him. Not a penny did he take with him of his $500 million, $500 million. And he could have brought all those riches. And that's what a lot of people are doing today. God, I'm bringing riches. I'm bringing gifts. I'm bringing things that I can do for poor people. And they would seek to bring that. And God says that's not the way. He did good works. Estimated in his life, he gave away $200 million. And often anonymously, and only after he died, people would come and they'd say, you know what he did for me? Now, no one knew this, but he gave me this, or he did this for me. He lifted me up. He did good works. And there's nothing wrong with good works. But this is the thing that the great majority of people think is going to fix the problem between them and God. People think the thing that will fix them is that they will be able to bring to God their works. They will be able to say to God, this is what I have done. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verses 8 and 9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Listen to this next part. It is the gift of God, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We bring our good works to God, and to him our best works are like filthy rags. The Bible says that our righteousnesses, the very best things that we do, they're like filthy rags. And God says to us, good works, it's not the way. He lived a life of pleasure. And that's what a lot of people are living. He was married 4 times. He did whatever he could do. He lived luxuriously. There wasn't anything he couldn't have, anything he couldn't buy. There was nothing he couldn't do. He did that which was right in his own eyes. He had talent. He had talent. And he was able to bring a crowd to its feet. And they were able to be in raptures at what he could do. He was talented. But you know, not a single one of these things count for anything. Because today, in addition to there being a star with his name on it, on the Hall of Fame, there's also a tomb or a gravestone that bears his name as well. And the fame and the good works and the fortune and all the rest of it, the talent and the power and the reputation, they have come to nothing. Do you notice those few words at the top of that gravestone where he simply says, the best is yet to come? This is a summary of his life, and he says, you know, it's been a good life. I've taken the knocks. I've had my share of them, but I've done it my way. And his closing message to all, he says, is the best is yet to come. As much as I have done and as great as I have been, he says, the best is yet to come. You know what God says? God says, no, it's not. No, it's not. There are a great many people in this world today who are thinking that however they choose to live and however they choose to die, that the best for them is yet to come. I want us to review again those verses that we started with and to see God speak to us as he tells us about the way. And I want you to ask yourself this question, is whose way are you depending on? Since that moment in Genesis chapter 3, when sin comes into the world, and from that moment forward, there's been separation between God and man, whose way is going to bring you back to God? Whose way is going to make a holy God satisfied? Whose way is going to be enough for you to be redeemed? It isn't going to be my way. It isn't going to be your way. Now let's see whose way it is. In Proverbs chapter 14, we saw there that it said that there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. A way, just a way. And that's how a lot of people are thinking today. There's a way here and there's a way there, and it really doesn't matter which way you go as long as you find the way that's right for you. You go your way, I go my way. At the end, it's all the same. The Bible doesn't teach that. We'll see that in John chapter 14, verse 6. There is a way that seems right unto a man, that we look at it and we say, you know what? I think the right path is to live a good life. If I live a good life, at the end of it, God is going to say, well, that was more good than it was bad. At the end of it, God will say, hey, there was a few things that were wrong, but the great majority of that life was good. That's enough. No, not by works. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but it might seem right, but the end of that way, the place that it goes to, the destination, is death. Death that first came in Genesis chapter 3. We read in Isaiah 53 of each of us turning to our own way, not just a way, but to our own way, to my way. And we have seen examples of that in Genesis 3 and 4 and 6 and 11 and in Judges. And we can look at almost any period of history and we'll be able to see the same thing. In fact, we don't have to look at history. Don't have to look at those first 2,500 years of Bible history. We just need to look at your last week, my last week, to see that there's times when we've gone our own way. What about the last month? Because I would hate to have a board here where everything that I had done or everything I had thought in the last month was written down. And I'm sure you'd be the same. Because each of us have turned to our own way. But do you know what this verse finishes with? It finishes with that promise that was made first in Genesis chapter 3, when the Lord Jesus Christ promised, God promised that he would send a redeemer. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We've all been like little wandering sheep. You've ever seen sheep? You try and get them into one place, they go wherever they like. A farmer will tell you sheep are difficult animals. You can't get them to do anything they don't want to do, and they follow one another. We have all gone our own way, but the Lord has laid on him, the Lord Jesus Christ has laid on him the iniquity of us all. My iniquity, your iniquity, laid on him. We went astray, and yet he is the one that bore our guilt. He's guiltless. He is completely unaffected and untouched by sin, sinless, spotless, perfect. Sin can never have any part of him. And yet, our guilt is laid on him. Matthew chapter 7 spoke of two ways, a broad way and a narrow way. Spoke of a broad way that's an easy road, it's wide. It's convenient, it's comfortable, it's easy to find, and it's populated with many, many people, many great people, many people that are famous, that are rich, that live lives of pleasure, that do good works, that have reputations. They're all on this way. And it's an easy way to go. And there's no pressure on it. And it's just a comfortable place to be. And no one's really asking you why you're on that way, because it makes sense. It's broad and it's easy. There's another way which is narrow and it's hard to get into. And when you're there's not that many there. And people are wondering why you would choose that road as opposed to the easier one. But the broad road, this easy road, this my way road, it leads to destruction. But the narrow way, it leads to life. There are many that find the broad way, but there are few that find the narrow way. John chapter 14 and verse 6 is one of the most amazing verses in all of the Bible. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he makes this statement. You know, we speak today about how everything has to be politically correct, and you can't say anything against somebody, you might offend them. You've got to be careful to be including everybody. And most of it is nonsense. The Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 14, he says, I am the way. Doesn't say I'm one of the ways. Doesn't say that I'm going to help you find one of the ways. He says, I am the way. And he goes further and he says, not only am I the way, I am also the truth. And I am also the life. And then he finishes by saying, no one, no matter how rich, no matter how good, no matter how young, how old, no matter what family they're from, what country they're from, no matter how rich or how poor, how well-known or how unknown, isolated, whatever they are, no man comes to the Father but by me. What a statement. What a thing to say. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But the prayer today is that whose way, your answer would be this verse that we have here in Psalm 86. Teach me thy way. That there wouldn't be anyone today who's seeking to find their own way. We've seen the folly of that. We've seen what it meant for Adam and Eve when they said to God, God, we'll be in this garden, but my way. God said, no, you won't. We've seen with Cain, he says to God, look what I have grown. Look what I can bring you from my works. And God said, no. The people of Noah's day in Genesis 6, we're going to do whatever we like. God says, no, you're not. People in Genesis 11 say, God will come to you. We'll ascend to you, God, but but we're going to do it the way that we want to do it and on our terms and in our time. And God said, no, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. There is a broad way and there is a narrow way. The broad way leads to destruction and the narrow way leads to life. Can I ask you, understanding that since Genesis chapter 3, sin has separated man from God, can I ask, what is your method for fixing that problem? I want you to think about it. What is the way in which you are making yourself right with God? What are you bringing to him? Because you know what you can bring to him? You can bring to him nothing. It doesn't matter what you give or who you are or what you have or where you're from. There is nothing that you can bring. There is a hymn and it says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. We sing that chorus with young people in Sunday school. No doubt you've sung it. How simple. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But understand, the Lord Jesus Christ says, no man cometh to the Father except through me. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know God has done a great thing for you. I don't know everybody that's here today. I see a sea of names and I don't know many of you. I hope you're loved and I hope you have people that love and care for you and that you've experienced what it is to have love in your life. Not everybody does. But I want to tell you, there's one that loves you above any other. There's one that loves you so much. You know, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. How much did he love the world? That he gave. What did he give? He gave his only begotten son. Why? Why would he do that? That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He tells us how to be saved. Doesn't make it complicated. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus,
that's okay.
And if you will believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's God's way. That's God's way. God's way is through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he sent into this world to be the savior of sinners. Do you know that? The Bible says the Father sent the Son. Why? Why did he send the Son? The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came, was to give us a way back to God. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. And that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has shed his blood. He has paid the price. He died for you. He died for me. Please, this afternoon, don't be coming to God and saying, this is what I'm offering you, God. This is my way. It doesn't matter what it is. God says no. God says there is one way. One way, God said, to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. Might it be that every person that is with us today is able to say, whose way? And they say, thy way. Your way, God, I understand your way is the only way. Might that be the case? And if it isn't, I implore you that you would abandon your own way, abandon your own will, and surrender yourself to God. Let's pray.